Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You guys can open up in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today could be a challenge. Anytime I have more than half a page of notes, that's always never a good thing. I have all these thoughts that are carrying over from Spiritual Warriors Weekend. We had Defend the Truth as our theme. And lots of great thoughts running through my head right now, carrying over from the weekend. I'm looking forward to shotgun preaching tonight. I'm trying to figure out how to keep this all in line here. We've been going through 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, going through the spirit of love. Today we'll do spirit of power, and then we'll do a spirit of discipline. But on that note, tonight is shotgun preaching, which is always a highlight. A couple times of the year, and you know, I have some comments on the Lord's Day evening assembly saved for Wednesday night as we've been going through messages to the resurrected army. So I don't want to get ahead of myself because I have those thoughts running through my head right now too. This is such a challenge. But what I did want to say was, you know, the Lord's Day evening assembly is a great opportunity to give guys reps from up front. Guys that, you know, have a zeal to preach and teach the word of God, but just need some opportunity. Okay, that's where I have to stop because now I'm getting ahead of myself. So we've primarily recently used shotgun preaching as an opportunity to get younger guys up here and guys that don't have a lot of experience necessarily, and give them 5 minutes. I mean, the worst thing you can do is just, you know, bonk for 5 minutes, you know, instead of bonking for half an hour, right? So it's a great opportunity. But I did want to say, the feedback that I've been getting from you for the past 6 months is, we like spiritual shotgun, but it's been a long time since we've got guys like Kevin and guys like Jared. This is the feedback I'm getting. And we want to hear them take on topics. And the reason why it's a great idea is the beauty is being able to cover a topic in depth, communicate something of substance, and do it in 5 minutes. That takes skill. So, last shotgun, I said we're going to do a young gun shotgun, and I got our two or three young guys that were here and brought them up here, okay? And I said the next time I do it, Kevin, Mike, Jared, Lorenzo, have been put on notice. You guys are up tonight. And myself. And now I just need a topic, and I think I just thought of it on the way up here. Well, I debated. It was either give them their topics as they're coming up here, right? Or it's pick something that would be a challenge to do in 5 minutes, and I think I want to do something that would be a challenge to do in 5 minutes. So because that's what I want to do, I really want to do the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. So, you've been put on notice. Hopefully I still have friends after tonight. The rest of you guys, you'll be nice to me, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful for what you have sacrificed on our behalf, was brought out so well at the Lord's Supper today. Lord, you have given us your Spirit. You haven't just entrusted it to us as a deposit so that we can lock it away like the unfaithful servant that went and buried the talent. But you have given it to us so that we might glorify you, that our lives might be transformed from the inside out, and that we would conform into the image of Jesus Christ in this life. Lord, it is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Thank you for the opportunity, not only to be reminded, but to spend some extra time considering your words this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so last week we looked at a spirit of love. And this week I want to talk about a spirit of power. But the introduction has to be the same. Notice that the spirit of power is being contrasted to a spirit of fear. Now, last week, takes a little more time to unpackage that contrast, fear and love. But the scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. And so we work through that. Now as we contrast fear and power, those seem a little more easier to understand. If you look at an army that is powerful, you don't particularly see faces of fear. Okay? So we won't have to spend a ton of time on that. But understanding, brethren, that the reminder is that the Spirit of God that indwells you is not a spirit that cowers. It is a spirit of power. Okay? All right. But this is not an earthly power, is it? Sometimes I wonder if I could bench press more weight than Jesus could when he was on earth. What do you guys think? You know, I've seen pictures of him. He looks kind of scrawny. That's a joke. You know that mid-century European-looking Jesus, you know, with the long hair and the, you know, we don't know what Jesus looked like. But could Jesus jump higher than an NBA basketball player and outbench the strongest man in the world when he was on earth? Probably not. Okay? That's not the power that he has communicated to us, and that is not the power that he has given us. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Actually talked about Romans chapter 1 verse 4 a month ago from up front. Verse 4 says, let's go back to verse 3. Concerning his son who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus declared the Son of God with power by means of his resurrection. And that's the power that I want us to consider this morning. Now, if you turn on over to Job chapter 38, read through this somewhat recently in public reading. God's power was defined in the Old Testament as his creative power in bringing the universe into existence. So I used a couple examples here in the Old Testament. But when God's got to get on somebody, when he's really got to rebuke an entire nation, or even rebuke one person, in this case in Job 38, God oftentimes leads off with what? Did you make the world? Right? See, God's power is oftentimes illustrated in the Old Testament in his reminder of mankind that he made the world and everything in it. Look at a couple examples of this. Job 38. If you look at verse 1, you see, then the Lord answered Job. So Job's been complaining. I mean, Job's been talking for 37 chapters, and now God answers. And in verse 12, the Lord says, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken of it? It's like, hey, did anyone here cause the sun to rise this morning? Do you call the moon to come and the sun to return to darkness? See, that's God's opening challenge to Job. You don't do that. God says, I do. You jump on over, jump on over to verse 31. This actually came up in Quinn's science piece recently, and maybe why it's on my mind, but I thought this was really cool. He says, can you bind the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? Did you know the ordinance of heavens or fix their rule over the earth? You know, you're talking to Job and he's like, you look out into the vastness of space. He's like, can you move them stars? Can you run a lasso up there and loop them and yank them into their spot? He's like, I put those up there. And so when we think about God's power, largely up into the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's power has been communicated in that which he has created. And it's quite a creation, is it not? And here's something that really somewhat within the last few years recently did jump out to me. Because when I think about the power of God in His creation, I usually think about verses like, "And He made the stars also." But that's billions and billions of galaxies in six words, isn't it? That's power. And growing up, for whatever reason, it could be He's got the whole world in His hands. But I always pictured, you know, God with the whole universe just spinning like a basketball on His pinky finger, simply because I know He could if He wanted to, because He's powerful, right? And there is great power in the fact that six words created Pleiades and Orion and Orion's belt and the bear and everything we can see here and beyond. But you know where else God's power is exerted? In the tiniest and smallest of things that we can find on earth. And the more that we can keep building our mirrored telescopes, and the more that we can keep zooming in 100 times, 10,000 times, 100,000 times, and we keep looking smaller and smaller and smaller, we just see more complexity at the basic cells that functions to form life. That's powerful. But God didn't stop there. Just like the majority of things in the Old Testament, He did it so that we, the church, could grasp our mind around the spiritual things, the true form of these things. Certainly an examination of the awesome power in the stars and galaxy brings an awareness of God's glory and His handiwork. But God's power in the New Testament is defined as that which raised Jesus from the dead, declared the Son of God through power. So that means God's power that made all the stars and gave the information to the cell to go to the DNA strand to receive its code to go be a fingernail or whatever, that same power worked to raise Jesus from the dead. The implication is strong, brethren. Because what it means is that God's power was exerted to bring existence through the eternal, to bringing into existence the eternal through Jesus' resurrection was exerted in bringing into existence the temporal through the eternal. The power of Jesus' resurrection is also exerted in our immersions. I want you to go over to Colossians chapter 2. We've got God, and He spends all this time communicating His power, largely through that which He has made. So much so that the world is without excuse, Paul says in the first chapter of Romans. But we also see that God's power was demonstrated in Jesus' resurrection. Hey, maybe you even go this direction tonight if you get the resurrection. We heard it at the Lord's table today, right? That power that made everything was also exerted in raising Jesus from the dead. Now, God has to raise Jesus from the dead because He prophesied that He wouldn't leave Him there to die and to rot. But do you know why else God raised Jesus from the dead? So that way, when He turns around and says, "You have been reborn and raised from the dead," we might begin to understand what that looks like. And look, I think Luke said this for years. It is very easy for me to read the Bible and to believe in Jesus' resurrection. He's proven His word to me, right? What's more difficult is believing in my own resurrection. Because we fight ourselves a lot. And we doubt ourselves quite a bit. And we limit ourselves. And sometimes we spend too much time focusing on our shortcomings. And we let those things define us. And it's really difficult to see a resurrected new creation in the image of Jesus Christ when you're focused on your shortcomings and your failures. But God did all this in exerting His power in raising Jesus from the dead, so we will buy into that same power that was exerted in our resurrections. See, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. We got to buy into God's plan for man, not just his power. Right? Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10 says, "In him you've been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So it's a spiritual operation because it's done without hands, and the old man is removed. We understand this well. When did it happen? Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Jesus declared the Son of God with power, the power of God, by means of his resurrection. And through faith, when you obeyed the gospel and you were immersed into Christ Jesus, God performed an operation on you, not you, because it's one done without hands. He removed the old man, the sinner, removed the body of flesh that has the tendency to sin, removed all of that. Right? Having been buried with him in immersion, you were what? Raised. You underwent a resurrection just like Jesus. And it was through your faith, Colossians says, in the working of God. And that same power that raised Jesus is the same power that raised you. The power that put the belt on Orion and put it next to the bear and gave the DNA, the building blocks to life, is the same power behind our new creation resurrection. Okay, now maybe you already knew that. Could you use the reminder? Timothy did. Why do you think Paul... Do you ever go up to somebody who exudes confidence so much that it's almost arrogance, and you go up and be like, "Hey, remember, you need to be confident." I usually tend to find myself reminding them what the line between confidence and arrogance looks like. So now you got Timothy, first chapter of the second letter written, right? Opens up with, "Stop being timid, Timothy." Maybe he was being timid, right? Saying things to Timothy like, "Don't let other people look down on you because you're young." He's being timid, right? Timothy needed the reminder. Hey, whose spirit you got, Timothy? Christian, whose spirit do you have? This is the Lord's Day. This is when you need that reminder, because it gets forgotten by Tuesday sometimes. You have the creating, the fullness of the creating God indwelling you. And he didn't give you a weak, sickly spirit. He gave you a powerful one. Not so you can deadlift 405 pounds, so that you can overcome the deeds of darkness. Look, I want to get here. I'll wait. Romans chapter 8. I appreciate when you guys laugh with me, because I'm being sincere. I'm trying to track here with you guys. I knew today was going to be tough. I got thoughts going everywhere, okay? Power. God's power living in us, okay? Romans chapter 8. This is so cool. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. "Those who are in the flesh can't please God. Thank the Lord that we have been born according to the Spirit." Amen? You can please God. "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God indwells you." Is the Spirit of God indwell you? Is it a spirit of timidity? Is it a spirit of power? "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Check this out. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who indwells you." You see it? The same God who raised Jesus from the dead, Romans says it was his power that raised him. And the same Spirit, the same God who raised you, he dwells in you. And that's where I got to remind myself, Nolan, get out of the way and let Christ shine through you. It's a powerful spirit. This awesome power isn't visible. It is seen by faith, but it is revealed through the Word of God. I want you guys to go to Ephesians, because this is where I think the reminder comes in. Okay, if I had come up here and said, are you indwelt with power? Do you have power through the Spirit who indwells you? I think the majority of you would understand that. And if I, you know, explain to you as I have, maybe even more teaching than preaching, even though there's lots of hooting and hollering, that power is what raised Jesus from the dead. So, of course, it's the same power that was involved in your own resurrection. And the majority might understand that. But the thing I want us to see, particularly from Ephesians here, you can start in verse chapter 1, is what does that look like in your life? It's easy to guess that Jesus couldn't rep out 405 in a back squat. That's fine. It's easy to know that this power is spiritual power. And if I even tell you it's the power to overcome your transgressions, you understand that. But are we allowing the Spirit to empower us? Or are we relying on ourselves? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. And so, if you see in verse 18, this is Paul's prayer. He says, I pray that. And his prayer was that the brethren would understand the greatness of God's power towards us who believe. Now, that's a reminder that we need. As we go out this week, we've got the greatest generator that can pump out the most amount of power possible. We just got to go to it through faith and stop looking to ourselves and to others and to programs and to these things to fix us. We got to go to God. Okay? Chapter 3. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees. Looks to me like he's praying again, huh? Okay. I mean, slowing down and understanding what's going on here. When we stop and we pray for people, I mean, this is what Paul wanted for believing brethren. He praying for them. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives this name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Probably one of the most challenging verses for me to understand and then turn around and explain. Look, I take you guys through Wednesday night stuff. I've taken you through Sunday morning stuff. I take Sunday school kids and my own kids and school kids through all sorts of scriptures. I mean, we got Bible Bowl. We just got Bible everywhere. And for the most part, you know, over a decade of reading and studying, careful reading and studying, a pretty good handle on this thing. Probably one of the most difficult things to completely and fully understand and then turn around to explain is that verse right there. And Paul praying to the Ephesian, I'm serious. If you will slow down and really think about what you have access to and then turn around and explain what does that look like. Because it's more than just doing your Bible reading in the morning, brethren. That he would grant you, according to his riches, to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit who indwells you. What does that look like? Why don't you think about this stuff? Because it's his Spirit and it's power. And it can strengthen you. You actually jump on down here. verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we think or ask, according to the power that works within us. God can do anything. He can do so much that oftentimes it's even beyond our ability to concoct what he's capable of doing. The whole universe, those billions and billions of galaxies, we're talking like trillions and trillions more Pleiades and Orions and Bears, all of it rotating on one finger. Because God can do that. But for the most part, we can't wrap our head completely around what he is capable of doing. And we are the limiting factor. Because we don't ask. And we don't come in faith. Now, I don't say that casually. I say that because I catch myself doing it. I catch myself trying to fix my own problems. I catch myself relying on others to help me fix problems. We got to go to the Lord. And we got to tap into his strength. Because he has given us a spirit of power. And you can be strengthened by it. Brethren, life does not have to be difficult. Like, it comes with its challenges. And Jesus tells us that we will be persecuted because we love God. And we're the light, and the darkness doesn't like the light. And we don't get to just be the light and then, you know, build towns in Montana, and then the darkness gets to go build towns in some remote island. Like, that's not good enough for the darkness, right? The darkness has to come and shut down the light. Because the darkness wants to be able to go wherever it wants to go without running into the light. And the problem with darkness and light is the fact that is wherever there is light, there is the removal of darkness. You understand that? It's not like you can go into a room and turn the darkness up. All you can do is just turn the light down. That's why when you go to the bottom of Lewis and Clark's caverns, they shut the lights off. There's nothing to see. I mean, you can't even see your hand moving an inch in front of your face. Can't do it. You see why people go mad. They get stuck down in them things for weeks, days at a time. Okay. And Paul's prayer is that we would understand through his grace that he's given us this power that we have access to and that it will strengthen you. So this life has its challenges, but can you have joy in this life through it? That's through the power of the Spirit that indwells you. This world's in turmoil, but can you have peace? Are these things that Jesus has promised to us who believe? They are. How is that possible? It's through the power of his Spirit who indwells you. And it's just sitting there, but it lies dormant without belief. It takes faith. And that's where that strengthening comes from. Now look, you know, reading the Word of God and putting on a spiritual mindset and all these things help. But what I want to leave us with today is we got to look to the Spirit of power that indwells us first before we try to turn to anything else. Look, there are all sorts of things in this life that have helped me along the way. And I wish I had some examples for us. Again, too many thoughts flooding through my head. I've gained in knowledge from other sources that aren't the Bible. I've gained in character from people who aren't Christians. And you have too. Maybe you learned a ton from your parents and they were never Christians. I don't know. I'm trying to paint a picture here. There are so many things in this life that can help us. There are so many situations and people and teaching tools and resources that we can tap into that can strengthen us, motivate us, help us get our mindset back in the right direction, and teach us. And none of it takes us fully to the glory of God. None of it. You can have the world's best, smartest teacher in the world. You can have the best collection of books. You can have the world's best traveled experiences. You can have all those things. And if you are not renewing in the inner man through the Spirit who indwells you, it will not work. Does that make sense? You can tap into anything you want. At the end of the day, the Spirit of power to renew comes from the Lord God. And if you are not growing, none of the other stuff around you matters. You have to individually, you and the Lord, you and the Holy Spirit, mano y mano, taking in the glory of the Lord, reflecting, and be transformed into that very same image from the Lord, the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You see, it is the Spirit. I want you guys, this will be a good place to wrap up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I just flipped right there. All right. That works. Let's look at verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say earlier. Can you have joy in this life, even though it's tough? Can you have peace, even though you're surrounded by turmoil? Is there liberty? Is there freedom? Can your, like, we're not just talking about, you know, I'm free to move about and I'm free to do as I please. Like, your conscience has been liberated. You are free. You sleep well at night. Thoughts don't keep you up. Your spirit's in the hands of the Lord. You're good. He's raised you. Worst thing man can do is kill you. You meet your maker. There is liberty because we've been freed from sin and subsequently the consequences of sin. That's why there's liberty in the Spirit. Okay? And so in verse 18, he says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And it is a spirit of power. Okay? So that's where I want to leave us this morning. That is the only source that will change your life for the better. And you know how it changed your life? Look, if you're sitting here today and you're not happy with who you are, and you're sitting here today and you're not happy with where you're at, and you're sitting here today and you're feeling a little bit of regret, you got to put your faith in the Lord. There's liberty. There's freedom in the Lord. And there is only one process. Look, when we are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory, this life, we're able to have that peace and that joy and to remove that regret because we stop worrying about the things of this life. Because we're taking on the image of Christ. Now look, transformed from image, the image of glory, that is the only transformation power available. You have to start there. It's through His Spirit, and it's a powerful Spirit. It's the same Spirit that worked the world's creation. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's the same Spirit that works in you. And if you will access it by faith and be willing through repentance to grow, it will transform you into the image of God. That's it. Now look, there have been teachers in my life that aren't Christians. There have been books that haven't been necessarily the Bible. There are all sorts of resources that I've put as tools in my toolbox that have helped me to get where I am today and have helped me to be able to help other people. But if you are accessing these things apart from the individual access of the Spirit, growing in the image of Christ, none of it will take you the whole way. We have to come to the Lord and access His Spirit of power. And that is what transforms the inner man. That is what conforms us into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Do they follow Lord God? Thank you for your Spirit. It is this life is a challenge. You know, we're really grateful that you understand us because you have lived this life. It comes with its challenges, and so you haven't just freed us from sin and then kind of released us back into the wild without a hope for being able to survive. You have given us of your Spirit. It is a Spirit of love and power and discipline. Thank you for the opportunity to consider your words this morning. You have given us great power to go out and to get back into the world, back into the wilderness to where we've been sent, and to succeed. Thank you for what you have given us. Lord, may we just be reminded to constantly have you on our mind, that we would be looking to you for your wisdom first, that we would be actively, through the power of the Spirit that indwells us, transforming into the image of Christ just as we see it in the pages of the Word of God, and that we would continue to work that day by day. It is a powerful Spirit, and it can do all things. May we rely on you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.